I actually enjoyed every race. I felt really good throughout that until that entire thing. I don't know how. I think it's Disney magic.
The Diz Runs With podcast, episode 296, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to the Diz Runs With podcast, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we get started today, I just want to give a quick shout out to one of the great affiliate partners of the show, and that is Road ID. You know, Road ID, we've talked about it before and how important it is to have some type of identification on you. And it's a lot easier than carrying your driver's license or something like that. You just get a customizable bracelet and, you know, you engrave whatever information, allergies, you know, emergency contact, all that kind of stuff onto your ID. And then if something were to happen to you, heaven forbid, when you're out running, emergency response knows who to contact and what your situation might be. So it's probably the best $15 of running equipment that you'll ever spend. So if you don't have one yet, head over to dizruns.com/roadid, and that'll take you to their main website, and you just fill out the information that you want on your Road ID bracelet, and you know, a bunch of different colors, sizes, shapes, styles available. But like I said, for $15 or $20, it's something that hopefully you'll never need, but heaven forbid you do, it's an invaluable piece of equipment to have with you. So dizruns.com/roadid, give yourself that peace of mind, and now let's get on with today's episode of the show. Hey guys, today I'm running with a woman that challenged herself to live a healthier life a few years ago, and by all accounts, she's definitely been a success. As she's embraced this ideal of living a healthy and happy life, she is constantly looking for fun new ways to work out and delicious, nutritious foods to eat. I'm looking forward to going a few easy miles today with Ms. Nicole Handler. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Definitely, definitely. And guys, if you haven't checked out any of Nicole's stuff before, you can find her website and blog at fitfulfocus.com. And all across social media, she's got it easy. She makes it easy for us. Everything's the same handle as the website as well. Fitful Focus. No matter where you are on social media, you can find her and connect with her and follow along with what she's doing. I'll have the links for her website and her social media and anything else that we happen to talk about today in the show notes for this episode, which you can find at dizruns.com/296. So Nicole, the way we always start on the show is with a pretty simple and straightforward question that sometimes has a simple and straightforward answer, and sometimes it has anything but a simple and straightforward answer. But either way, it's a great launching point. And that's just to ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
I love this question. I would say my favorite distance to race is the half marathon. Mostly because it's a challenging distance, but at the same time, it doesn't take over your day and the training doesn't take over your life like marathon training can.
Right.
I think, you know, for me, I'm kind of a middle of the pack runner. I'm not super fast. I'm not super slow. I'm, you know, usually around like I'm comfortable at a 9:30 pace. I can pick it up if I want to, but so a half for me takes about a little under 2 hours. So, you know, I can go and do the race and then I can kind of go about my day. I'm not crazy sore or exhausted. I can go out to brunch with friends and celebrate. Whereas a marathon, the second you cross the finish line, you just want to collapse. So, I think that's good too I love to experience new races and I love to travel. So the half is kind of good for that. I can go explore a city by foot during a race and then afterwards still be able to go and enjoy the day in a new place.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I like to, you know, whether it's travel for a race or just travel to run. But yeah, like there's nothing like traveling somewhere, running a race, and then not being able to walk for 2 or 3 days and being like, well, now I guess I'm stuck in the hotel room. Like,
exactly. Or you can't go up and downstairs to the subway. And it's just awful.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Had you been running much before? I know it was about, 2012 that you kind of made this decision that you were going to kind of change health or change your lifestyle a little bit. Were you running much before that, or was that kind of brought about at that same time?
It was pretty much brought about the same time. I started running a little bit my senior year of college, which was, I graduated in 2010.
Okay.
And by a little bit, I mean, it was literally like I could barely go a mile, but I would try every now and then. Right. and then after college, I was working, I was commuting, I was living with my parents and commuting into New York City. So I had 3 hours of commuting every day and then working really hard. And I just needed something to kind of get fit. I was feeling really sluggish. I still had all the weight gain that I'd gotten in college. And I didn't have a lot of money because I wasn't making very much. So I needed something that was free. And I had a friend that he was very in shape. He went to a military college. So he came back from school, you know, in better shape than anybody else. And I started running with him, and he could run forever, and he was running at like a 6 minute pace, so he would always kind of slog along with me for half a mile, and then he'd go on ahead, and I'd try to keep running, but most of the time I ended up just walking. And so finally one day I just asked him, you know, like, how do you just keep going? And he just said to me, you know, the second you feel like you have to stop, just push yourself to just do one more mile or just go a little bit further. Just tell yourself that you can keep going, and you can. So I just started, that kind of became my mantra, just keep going. So every time I felt a little tired, I would give myself a landmark or a time stamp and just try to hit that. And it just got longer and longer every time. And eventually my office in 2012 had some spots open for the New York City Half through a charity. And I was like, yeah, right, I'll do it. At that point, I had gotten up to about 6 miles on my own, so I thought it would be a challenge, and I thought it would be a one-and-done kind of thing, and, you know, you get the race bug, and that's that.
Right, right. When you were getting into running, was it pretty... I don't know if anybody finds it super enjoyable right off the bat, but was it something that I mean, obviously you kept going. Like, I know for me, it was like, I hated every step of it. And then eventually somewhere, you know, down the road, it became a bit of an acquired taste. Was it like that for you, or was it a pretty easy transition for you?
Oh gosh, no, I hated running. I hated running when I was a kid. I hated in high school when you had to run the mile. Mm-hmm. I hated it. And I don't know when it was. I guess at a certain point when you realize that it's something you're getting better at, and something that you can, you know, when you're able to do a little bit more, a little bit more, it's very rewarding to know that you can kind of challenge and motivate yourself, you know, by yourself. You don't have a team with you. It's just you. And that's an experience you don't really get from many other sports, I don't think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's nobody else you can rely on at all. Like, it's all you and the effort you put into it.
Yeah.
Do you have a background in other sports or not so much?
I played volleyball and softball in high school. And I've always tried to be a little bit active. I've always liked sports, but I've never done anything on like the collegiate or professional level.
Gotcha. When you made that, you know, you talk about it in the blog is kind of saying, you know, at this point in January of 2012, like, I decided to, you know, really challenge myself to be healthier. Was there something specific that brought that on?
I had just realized that I had gained a lot of weight, and I was feeling really tired and sluggish all the time. And my mom has battled with her weight in the past. She recently lost a lot. She's awesome, and she's so inspirational to me. But I saw how much she struggled with her weight, and I really just didn't want to get to that place. So when I saw that I was kind of slipping into that, I just had this moment where I like woke up, and I was kind of like, I don't want to fall into this trap of gaining weight and just coming home from work every day and watching TV. I need to be active. And once I kind of started changing my diet, and getting more exercise, you know, you never really realized how bad you were feeling until you realize how good you can feel. So the moment I started feeling so good and so much stronger, I was just kind of hooked on that, and I didn't want to go back.
Yeah, it's crazy how things kind of spiral in both directions. How you know, when you stop being active, you start eating less well. And like you said, you don't necessarily realize how bad you're feeling, but it's just there. It gets a little worse every day. And then once you break that cycle and start going the other way, all of a sudden you start to feel, you have a little bit more energy. You start to eat better. Like your workouts go better and it starts to spiral in the other direction.
Yeah. It's really kind of amazing. And I mean, I was, in 2012, I was living on my own. I had my own apartment and I had been working late a lot. Mm-hmm. And on my way home from work from the subway, there was a McDonald's and I was, you know, at first I was just stopping like once a week and mm-hmm. then I was stopping every night. It was late because I didn't want to cook.
Right.
And I realized that it was just a really, really bad habit. So I actually challenged myself to be vegetarian for a month. Mm. Basically just to stay away from McDonald's.
Right. Hey, whatever works to stay away from that place.
Yeah. So it worked, and I actually did the vegetarian thing for about 2 years.
Wow.
And that's kind of what kickstarted me on the healthy eating path.
Gotcha. And had you been getting into the exercise more before the dietary switch, or was that kind of the kickoff point?
It was all about the same time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of made it one big swooping change.
Gotcha. Hey.
All or nothing.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, I guess it depends on your personality. For some people, like, that's the better way to do it, is to just, you know, cold turkey everything and start fresh. And some folks, it's, you know, ease in, ease out. But I guess it's one of those, you gotta kind of have to know what works for you and embrace that, whichever route is best for you.
Yeah, totally.
So one of the things also that I noticed on your website is that you've gotten into CrossFit quite a bit lately, and I'm curious, and we'll get back into some of the running things in a minute, but because I know you're still running and I know you're starting to train for the next marathon, which we can also get into in a bit, but
yep.
And this is me on the outside. I've never done CrossFit, so if I say something ignorant, please forgive me. I'm not trying to. The way I look at CrossFit, and I know plenty of runners that do CrossFit, and it doesn't have any negative impact on them, but it doesn't look to me, from the outside looking in, like CrossFit exercises are the best complement when it comes to strength training for, you know, endurance type of runners. You know, it's mm-hmm. kind of completely different disciplines. So I'm curious how you've noticed the impact, or how have you noticed CrossFit benefiting your running, or maybe running benefiting your CrossFitting, or is there a relationship, or are they just two different things that you enjoy doing both? Like how does that relationship kind of work for you?
Right. So yeah, I got into CrossFit. It was always something I wanted to try. I was curious, but I kind of kept away from it because it's very expensive, mm-hmm. no matter where you go. But I eventually went to a class and I really enjoyed it. And I've seen huge increases in my speed from CrossFit. Mm-hmm. I went from like 9:30 average pace in my half to an 8:15.
Wow.
While doing CrossFit as my cross training. So I think you could probably see the same results from just regular strength training. Mm-hmm. But I think what CrossFit adds is that little bit of metabolic and heart rate training as well. Mm-hmm. You do a lot of the lifting, and then at the end of the workout, you do something really intense that gets your heart rate up.
Right.
And I think that helps with, you know, last minute pushes and races. And in terms of my running, helping CrossFit, I have a lot more endurance for the longer workouts. And mm-hmm. there are some workouts that involve running that, you know, a lot of CrossFitters don't run and they hate running. So I have a little edge in those right. workouts, which is nice.
Is your CrossFit experience been something where, again, from the outside looking in, it looks like in my, from the friends or people I've talked to that do it, that some CrossFit boxes, I think I'm using the terminology there correctly, yeah. Are either super competitive or they're super kind of team focused. Have you noticed one or the other, or is it a kind of a blend of both?
I actually think it's a really great community. Mm. I think, you know, boxes do tend to like post your score or whatever for the workout on the board. So I go in and I kind of see what other people in the classes before me have done. And instead of being competitive, it kind of lets me gauge where I can be. It helps me push myself. Mm. versus competing with somebody else, because I know somebody that's been doing CrossFit for a while or has a different strength level than I do, they might be able to go and lift a gazillion pounds, and there's no way I'm going to do that. And I know I'm going to hurt myself if I try, so I'm not going to try to compete with them. It's a lot more about me trying to beat my personal best, just like when you're running a race. And I think, you know, everybody kind of cheers each other on. The people that finish first are cheering on everybody else. And there are a lot of team focused workouts where you're going with and working with another person. So I think it can get competitive if you let it. But I find it's a really good community and a really good way for me to compete with myself.
Gotcha. Does it kind of become a team-like atmosphere, or is it still just pretty individualized for you?
I think it's a little bit of both, which I think is a nice mix. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of, my box does a lot of fun events. They do a lot of free events where you can bring friends. They do like a workout and a beach day, or a workout and then go to the bar. So there's, I think a lot of people make a lot of friends through CrossFit, just like they do through running.
Right. So, well, I mean, obviously for you, it's worked. So maybe I need to get over some of my CrossFit bias. Because shoot, if it could help me trim a minute and a half off of my pace, like, you know, oof, I don't know what I'd do if I started running that fast.
Yeah, I think it definitely has a stigma. It can be, I think there are certain boxes that can be kind of cultish. It's just about finding the right one.
Well, and I mean, I think that's the thing. You know, in the news in general, you don't hear news stories about things that are hunky dory and everything's well. It's always the bad things. So you hear the crazy CrossFit gym where, you know, the guy goes into rhabdo and kills himself, or, you know, like ends up in the hospital or whatever. Like, you don't hear about the ones where people are just working out and being safe and like nothing bad is happening, and like, which is the majority of them, you know, just like everything else. The majority is uneventful, so you don't hear about it, but that's the crazy few that ruin it for everybody.
Oh, those people.
definitely. You know, mentioned that you're running New York this year. Have you been doing CrossFit long enough where you've done CrossFit during a marathon training cycle, and does that impact how you train one or the other, or do you just kind of continue with the CrossFit while you're still logging crazy amounts of miles and gearing up for a marathon distance race?
Yeah, my training, even during the off season, is I try to keep it pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. It's just the amount that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing CrossFit for the past year. So the past two marathons I've done, I've been doing CrossFit through. So I usually do 3 days of running and 3 days of CrossFit. Gotcha. So it's a pretty good balance. My first marathon ever, I think I had four or five days running, and it was just too much running. It got kind of monotonous. So I like doing CrossFit the 3 days a week and running 3 days a week. And during marathon training, I'm just more conscious of whatever CrossFit workout I do before my long run. So if it's a lot of squats or something that's very leg focused, I'll go a little bit lighter. I won't push myself like I usually would.
Gotcha. Yeah. And that's the trick with everything, is to be able to adapt and adjust a little bit based on what your needs are at the moment, whether it's CrossFit, whether it's just regular strength training, whether it's, you know, your speed workouts and things like that, and adjusting those to make sure that, you know, like you said, when you're doing an 18 or a 20 miler, that you got a little something left in the legs from the day before.
Right. And, for this year in particular, is the first time I hired a running coach, because I really want to push myself for this marathon. It's it'll be my fourth, but it's the first one I'm really doing for time. So I thought having a coach would help with that.
Yeah, definitely. You run in New York, right? That's what I saw on the.
Yeah. New York City Marathon. I'm very excited.
Is this your first time running New York City?
Yeah. So I live in Brooklyn, and the marathon runs right by my apartment every year. So I go and I watch and I cheer everybody on. So I'm really excited to actually be running it this year.
This may be an impossible question, so I apologize in advance if you just kind of, you know, don't have an answer, but is there one or two things that you're really looking forward to beyond just the fact that it's a marathon and it's in New York, and you know, are there a couple things that you really are excited about?
I think the amount of crowd support is going to be unlike anything I've ever experienced before. Just knowing New York, I think they're pretty much crowds the entire way.
That's what everybody seems to say, that I haven't run New York either, but you know, everybody that I've talked to is like, man, the crowd support is unbelievable.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to that. And just running, you know, where I've lived for so long, I think it'll just be magical. Hopefully.
Right, right.
Until mile like 19.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but no marathon is any longer magical at mile 19, certainly. and if nothing else, it is home field advantage for you. So you got that going.
True. I can practice the course.
Definitely, definitely. Well, speaking of magical, that's kind of a great tie-in, because if memory serves from looking at some of the things on your website, you ran the Dopey Challenge this past January. Is that
yes? Okay.
What was that weekend like for you?
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah,
I love Disney so much. I know you live down there, right?
Yeah, we're about 45 minutes from the front door of the castle. So.
Oh man, I'm so jealous. But yeah, the Dopey Challenge was a blast. I ran it with a friend. I think the hardest part was waking up every morning so early.
Yeah, especially if you want to, you know, do something in the afternoon, go to the parks or go out to dinner, things like that. Like, yeah, you gotta be up bright, well, dark and early. You know, there's no bright that hour of the day.
I mean, those races start at like 5:30 or something. So yeah, you have to be up at 3:15. I think that was the hardest part. I actually enjoyed every race. I felt really good throughout that entire thing. I don't know how. I think it's Disney magic.
right, a little pixie dust makes it all better.
Yeah.
Was it the first time that you've done, you know, back-to-back type of races, and not to brush off the 5K and the 10K, but looking more at the longer stuff, the half and the full on Saturday and Sunday, had you done something like that before, or was that the first time?
That was the first time. So what I ran the whole thing with a friend who had actually done it the year before. So she is one of those crazy, amazing people that did the Dopey Challenge 2 years in a row. But so she kind of gave me some tips for training. So I actually took that training cycle pretty easy. Mm-hmm. You know, I trained as if I was training for a marathon, and I actually... I signed up for the Philly Marathon, which was in November before the Dopey Challenge, as kind of a training run.
Right.
Which I don't, it's very weird to say that you ran a marathon as a training run, but ran that race. And then once that was over, just did a few back-to-back long runs in the month and a half before Dopey to kind of get prepared. But I also knew I wasn't going to be running them for time. You know, they're Disney races. I wanted to enjoy the scenery and stopping for all the pictures with all the characters. So we had a pretty good, smart plan. I think halfway through the half marathon, we switched to a run walk and just stuck with that through the entire rest of the race, including the marathon. So we would do like 8 minutes running, 2 minutes walking, and we just did that the entire time. And we finished the marathon feeling pretty good, like tired feet, but otherwise I actually wasn't that sore. We walked around the park afterwards. If I could feel that good after every marathon, I would it would be in good shape.
Yeah. It's something that I haven't done yet either, the back-to-back type of stuff. And I don't know that the Dopey Challenge is ever in my future, because I have a hate relationship with the 5K, and especially with paying for a 5K.
Yeah. It's an expensive 5K.
Yes, it is. But I've thought about at some point doing Goofy, and I don't know. It may happen, but there's some other options of back-to-back things that may be creeping up into my future. So I'm trying to get suggestions for how to you know, bounce back one day to the next. I think in my head, it just comes down to, you know, you can't race that first one, because you have nothing left. So you got to be.
No, we didn't race any of them. Mm-hmm. It was my slowest times for every race I've ever had. And I was totally okay with that, because it was all about just enjoying it for me.
Oh yeah. Well, and yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, you can say it's your slowest race, but it's also the only time you've ever raced back to back to back to back like that. So like,
this is very true. You know,
of course, you got to save something each day.
Yeah. Yeah. I am doing the glass slipper challenge in February.
Are you?
It's a little less intense, but still will still be fun.
Yeah, my wife's doing the glass slipper challenge as well. So I'll be looking for you, cheering for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, definitely.
So I want to switch things up a little bit. You know, part of what you mentioned in the intro and some of the things that you've talked about a few times on your website is the food, nutrition, and kind of changing the healthier eating. You went vegetarian for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I know where I stand on this, and I'm assuming we're probably going to speak the same language, but I'd love to hear it from you and have other people, you know, not hear me say the same thing all the time. where does the role of food come into play when it comes to being healthy? I'll just flat out ask the question that I get from people all the time is like, you know, I want to work out, I want to lose some weight, but I don't really want to change my diet. And, you know, what do I need to do? And I kind of tell them, you kind of have to eat a little bit better. So, what's been your experience with, maybe not experience, but your take on that type of subject?
I completely agree with you. I think if you want to just work out to lose weight, it's going to be very hard if you really don't want to change your diet at all. Cause I think diet is 80% of it. I think you can work out as much as you want, but if your goal is to lose weight, it's not going to happen unless you start eating a little healthier. And that doesn't necessarily mean less. Mm-hmm. It could just mean less processed stuff, you know, less. I think whole foods are the way to go. I think if all you eat is, you know, lean meats and nuts and fruits and veggies, you're going to be so much more full and satisfied than if you were to just eat Twinkies all day. And you'll end up just naturally losing weight, even if you're still eating a lot of food. If you're exercising, of course, and, you know, being conscious. But I never really thought all that much about the food I was eating until I decided to do that kind of vegetarian challenge and stop eating McDonald's. And I realized I felt really good. And then a couple years later, I started feeling like crap all the time. Mm. And I was trying to figure out why. And I finally realized that I have a gazillion food allergies.
That'll be a problem.
Yeah. So I'm allergic to wheat, peanuts, soy, and corn. On top of being lactose intolerant, which I had known about for a while.
What the heck can you eat?
yeah. So that was it was a big, big challenge. And part of the reason I really got into cooking, because I kind of had to cook for myself. And I was a huge peanut butter fan, and I loved a big bowl of popcorn. So I was pretty devastated when I found out I couldn't have those things anymore. But it actually really kind of reset my thinking when it came to food and forced me to eat healthier. And you know, I can't have a lot of processed foods now because of those food allergies. So it's kind of a blessing in disguise. It keeps me healthy, definitely keeps me away from some of the not so great things that are out there. But it can definitely be a challenge for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I certainly don't wish that I had any, you know, really severe type of food allergies, but yeah, I mean, I could imagine it can be a pretty, and this is going to sound terrible. I don't mean it to sound that way, but you know, a pretty convenient excuse, for lack of a better understanding, when people bring stuff to work, or when you're at a party and they're like, oh, here, have, and it's like, oh, nope, sorry, I can't. Like I'll try to say that, and people are like, whatever, you run so much, you'll be fine. But if I could say like, no, I seriously, like, I can't,
right.
You know, it makes it a little easier to pass on some things, I would imagine, you know, when you want to be able to use that excuse.
That's true.
It's one way to look at it, I guess. Again, I don't mean that. Like I said, I'm glad I don't have an allergy, but at the same time, like, it forces you to prepare your food, which it's a whole lot easier to eat healthy when you're doing the cooking than it is when you're going out on a regular basis, and especially, you know, again, with an allergy, you don't always necessarily know what might be in something that could trigger you.
Right.
What are you know, your website is full of you know, treats and recipes and which is awesome and a great resource, and I'll definitely link to several of those types of posts, or I think you have like a whole page kind of on recipes and food and whatnot. What are some of your favorite kind of go-to things that you know, aren't a big hassle of things to cook, and you know, you can whip together pretty quick, but are healthy, nutritious, that type of thing, that you know, if somebody's looking to kind of get started with the cooking or just kind of preparing some of their own foods instead of going with some of the processed things, that would be a good place to maybe try to start with.
Yeah. So let's see. I would say meal-wise, like if you want an actual whole big meal, I'm a huge fan of sweet potatoes. And they can take a while to cook in the oven, like 45 minutes to an hour. But something I really love to do instead, which is much faster, is chop it up, throw it in a pot of boiling water until they're soft, which it happens very quickly, like 5 to 10 minutes. Drain out the water, throw it in a blender with just some salt, pepper, and garlic, and puree it. And then have that kind of sweet potato puree with just something simple like grilled chicken or a little bit of steak or something like that. It's a really quick and easy meal that's very, very delicious. It's like mashed sweet potatoes.
Right.
And then dessert-wise, I have a pretty big sweet tooth. So I'm always trying to find healthy desserts, and because I can't have corn, I can't have corn syrup, which means I can't have a lot of the good things. And I'm also a huge ice cream lover, but I can't have a lot of dairy, so I can't have ice cream. So instead, I make like a nice cream, which I'm sure you've seen a lot online. It's basically you freeze a banana. I usually freeze a banana and some strawberries. Throw those frozen fruits in a blender with my favorite protein powder and a little bit of almond milk and blend it up, and it has the consistency of ice cream, but it's a lot healthier and filling because of the protein. So that's a good healthy dessert, one of my favorites.
I'm sure it's one of those where you know, those of us, and I'm certainly guilty of this too, that have a legitimate ice cream sweet tooth.
would
try it and say, you know, oh, this isn't anything like ice cream, but I bet it would be something that, you know, if you do it a few times, like it would satisfy the same cravings, and like you said, be much healthier, much more filling, and just all around better for you as well.
Totally. And I'm all about moderation. So, you know, if you really love ice cream, then do the healthy ice cream, you know, when every two times you have a craving, and then the third time you have a craving, let yourself have some real ice cream, you know, just do it.
Well, yeah. And I don't know where you stand on this, but for me, it's like, you know, if you keep suppressing that urge long enough, eventually you're just going to blow up and eat, you know, a whole gallon of ice cream instead of having a little bit here and there.
Yeah, totally.
With the food allergies, and especially with the corn, which, you know, I'm certainly in the, you know, in the camp of the least amount of high fructose corn syrup you can, you know, have, the better. But when it comes to race day, I have to imagine you pretty much have to take all of your own fuel and that type of stuff with you, because pretty much anything that they're going to hand out, whether it's gels or chews or Gatorade or whatever, I mean, pretty much that's all going to have corn syrup in it, right?
Yep. I never rely on race day fuel. I always bring my own. And you know, most of the time they announce ahead of time who the sponsorship is, and I'll look it up, but you know, I have the products that I really like, and I don't want to try something new on race day. So I tend to just bring what I use, which is, usually just plain water, which they have at every race, hopefully.
Yeah, seriously.
And, I use Pro Bar Energy Bolts. They have some organic chews that are corn syrup free.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Is it hard to find that stuff, or being in New York, you have enough options that you can find stuff that doesn't have the corn syrup in it?
New York's pretty good about that. And I mean, there's also the World Wide Web to shop from now. So nothing's too hard to get a hand on.
Yeah. As long as you're, you know, thinking ahead and planning ahead, because if it came to the last minute, then that becomes a problem.
Right.
All about the planning. The blog, how long have you been keeping the blog up, and has it been up and running?
I've had it for about 4 years. I started it at about a little after I started running and kind of eating healthier again, in 2012.
What was the reason to start it?
I started it mostly as almost a little diary to myself to kind of hold myself accountable. I never thought that anybody would read it ever. It was really just for me. I was posting very sporadically, and then I started reading a lot of other blogs and getting inspired by what a lot of other blogs were doing, and decided to try to make it a little bit bigger thing and get involved in the blogging community. And I just, the blogging community is amazing. I'm so happy I'm a part of it now.
Yeah. Was it something that, like you said, it kind of grew organically. Like, I feel like for a lot of folks, and maybe, well, I'm in this boat. You either start out with this idea that you're going to make this, you know, when I started my blog, like I was like, yeah, this is going to be like the running blog. And then it's like, yeah, I posted a couple of, you know, these are my splits for a track workout. And it's like, well, why is nobody reading this? And then like, now I think back and go, well, no kidding. Why would anybody want to read that? Like that's so boring. What have you found that for you, seems to generate the most traffic? Is it the food stuff? Is it the running stuff? Maybe what posts do you enjoy writing the most, and who cares about the traffic?
Wow, those are a couple good questions there. I think the most popular posts tend to be some of the recipe posts, especially because everything I make is allergy friendly. Mm-hmm. So it definitely caters to a certain type of person. And I think those are probably my favorite posts to write too. I really like experimenting in the kitchen, and coming up with new ways to make things that I usually can't eat. Mm-hmm. It's fun and exciting, and I get especially excited when I come up with something that my boyfriend says is good, because he's always like, "Oh, it's allergy friendly. It's not going to be good." I'm like, "Well, you taste it, then tell me."
Yeah, I feel like I've gone. I'm a little more lax on it now than I used to be, but for a while I was pretty hardcore about not eating wheat. I think I have maybe a slight wheat sensitivity, but I wouldn't say it's completely gluten, and I wouldn't say it's a full fledged allergy. But I just notice I feel a little bit better when I'm not eating wheat, and you know, we would use, you know, every once in a while make something to take to a party or take to Sunday school class or whatever, and it was like, when people didn't realize, or when we didn't tell them that it was made with rice flour, like, people would eat it. No big deal. It wasn't. But if you told them beforehand, like, oh yeah, these are rice flour or almond flour, like, people would freak out and be like, oh my gosh, this is not going to be any good. And you know, with your boyfriend, if you're making it, he knows. So maybe that's already got it in his mind. But have you noticed that in other places where, like, if you just kind of keep your mouth shut about what type of flour it might be, or the fact that it's not, you know, it's safe for just about any allergy, that people that don't have the allergies still appreciate it until they know that it doesn't have something in it?
Absolutely. If I bring a dessert that's made with chickpeas to a party and I tell people it's made with chickpeas, they will not eat it. But if I just don't say anything at all and just say, here's a cookie dough dip, and they try it and they're like, this is delicious. And I'm like, it's healthy. Ha ha.
All right, so I have to ask, what dessert do you make with chickpeas? Because I've never heard of that, and I would love to try it. Maybe I'd love to try it if I didn't know that it was made with chickpeas first, but I'll get over it. I can look past it.
So there are two that I really love. One is a chickpea cookie dough. It's basically just, you throw chickpeas, and I'm trying to remember, I haven't made it in a while, but chickpeas, almond butter, some brown sugar, some chocolate chips. You just throw it all in like a food processor, mm-hmm. and it gets the consistency of a cookie dough. And then you just get something to dip with it, you know, some gluten-free graham crackers or regular graham crackers if you're not gluten-free, something like that. And it's delicious. And then basically the other version is taking that cookie dough and baking it, and it makes little like blondies.
I was going to ask if you could then just bake that and make a cookie out of it. Wow. That's,
yeah.
Is there a recipe on the website?
The blondies are on the website. I don't know if I've ever posted the cookie dough.
Well, I'll scrounge around. If I can find something, I'll be sure to include a link in the show notes for sure.
Yes, they are delicious.
Yeah, sounds like it. Yeah, got me, you know, as we're recording this, it's almost lunchtime anyway, so like, got me going now. Where'd the name come from? The Fit Full Focus, was that something that put together? Because I noticed on the website you kind of highlight those words a few different places. So I'm assuming that there's some special meaning to you.
Yeah, so for me, kind of living that healthy lifestyle is about three things. It's about fitness, you know, working out, getting your sweat on. It's about keeping your tummy full, you know, with kind of healthy foods and being satisfied, not depriving yourself. And the third is focus, you know, staying focused on your goal and kind of what you want to achieve. So those are the three things I think you need if you want to live that healthy lifestyle and make, you know, actually make healthy living a lifestyle versus just a kind of, oh, I'll work out here and there. I'll diet every now and then. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And if you want to have long-term changes, long-term better health, long-term success, like it has to be, you know, you need all those things and it has to be, you know, like that has to be the goal. You need to stay focused on that. And like you said, not make it a make it a lifestyle. And I almost hate to say that because it's like an overused cliche of, you know, it's a lifestyle, not a diet, but like, it really is. Like, you have to live like that the majority of the time. And you can, like you said, also we said earlier, you can splurge once in a while, you can have a treat here and there, but for the most part, if you're eating well and working out on a pretty consistent basis, like, your health is going to more often than not respond in a good way.
Yeah.
So as we're kind of getting close to wrapping up today, Nicole, I'd love to ask a little bit more what I've been kind of calling a philosophical type of question. It's a little bit maybe on the deep side, but it's very open-ended and certainly no right or wrong answer. I'd be curious to find out that in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years now, or I guess four plus years of kind of, you know, having this focus on healthy living and incorporating some running and training for races and all this kind of good stuff. What has running and healthy living and you know, everything that you know, has kind of come in these last few years taught you about yourself, from before to kind of where you are right now?
That's a great question. I think the number one thing it's taught me is that I can challenge myself, and I can, if I put my mind to something, I can achieve it. Mm-hmm. And I know that kind of sounds cliche, but it's really true, especially with running. You know, I did my first half and I didn't think I would ever do another race again, especially a marathon. And then, you know, 2 years later, I was doing my first marathon and I finished and I was like, that was fun, but I don't think I'll do another one. And here I am training for my fourth. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just, you know, it's amazing to discover what you can do if you try and if you really believe that you can do it. And I don't think I knew that before I started running.
Yeah, so. It's I mean, you know, you're talking to a bunch of runners, so we can all relate, but I think we've all been there too, where like, I mean, I can certainly remember a time when it was like running a 5K was
awful.
Yeah. And well, I mean, it's still awful to race a 5K, but I mean, even just the idea of running 3 miles was almost an impossible Herculean type of task. Like, there's no way, like, how does anybody run 3 miles without stopping to walk? Like, you know, and I'm talking running, you know, like 12 minute pace at best probably. And you know, and you just keep going. And all of a sudden those things that seemed like they were huge mountains are just, you know, little speed bumps at best. And you keep moving forward. And you know, there's definitely no limit to, what we can achieve if we keep working and keep grinding.
Absolutely.
Well, it's been a pleasure and I can't wait to see how New York goes for you. That'd be exciting. The hometown race, like that's you know, everybody that runs it says it's great, but I got a feeling that the few people I've talked to that are from New York that have run it have definitely raved on it in a different way, just because of, you know, because it's their city and it's your city. And I can't wait to see how it goes for you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very excited.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, guys, I'll be following along and I would encourage you to follow along as well. Fitfulfocus.com. And again, anywhere on social media, whatever your platform is, you know, for me, it's going to be Instagram and Twitter, but wherever you like to hang out, you can connect with Nicole there as well and just search for Fitful Focus and say hi and let her know that you heard her on the show and wish her luck in New York and next February when she comes down here to run the Princess Weekend and, you know, whatever else she's got going on. Stay in touch with her there. And again, I'll have the show notes for everything and I'll try to scrounge up some recipes as well. Dizruns.com/296. So, Nicole, thanks again for taking the time today. And again, man, all the best going forward. Have a great training cycle and can't wait to see what happens when you really race in a marathon for the first time, racing it hard. Can't wait to see how it goes for you.
Yay. Thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope that you enjoyed the conversation between Nicole and myself. And as always, I'd love to know what you think. What stood out to you from this episode? What was your biggest takeaway? For me, I think it really comes down to the emphasis that Nicole has placed on her diet, on what she eats. And obviously a big part of that has to do with the different food allergies that she has. I mean, clearly that's going to impact how any of us would eat. If we learned that we had some type of allergy, we'd probably try to avoid that type of food. But there's no question in my mind, and I've talked about it here and there and on some quick tips and things like that, about the role that food plays. You know, if you, like Nicole said, if you want to lose weight, you can't exercise it all off. Or at least if you want to, it's going to be very, very, very difficult. You really have to work on what you're eating. And also, like Nicole said, I think she made some great points when we talked about food today. It's not always about eating less, but eating better. So you may end up with the same number of calories, but try to find foods that are higher, have a higher density of nutrients. So the real foods, you know, non-processed things, things that are as fresh and hopefully local. You know, this is as we're releasing this here, we're talking about, you know, the middle of August, in a lot of parts of the country, that's a great time for farmers markets and fresh foods and, you know, stands at the local farms, things like that, where you can get, you know, stuff that's local, that's fresh, that's full of nutrients. Like those are the things that you should try to be eating as much as possible. And if you do that, you might find that you're not hungry and you don't even have to worry about counting calories anymore. Just by eating healthy, nutritious, nutrient dense food. I mean, it goes a long way, just for good health. And then, you know, good health bleeds to better running. You know, it just leads to it. The healthier you are, the healthier your body is, the better you're going to do at whatever running goals that you might have, whether it's races, whether it's miles, whether it's just to be happy and healthy and have social time with some other running friends. You know, whatever your running goals are, if your body's healthy, if you're fueling your body well, those goals are going to be easier to reach and it's going to be more fun along the way. So I could go on about food for a while and maybe it's time to readdress that topic on another quick tip episode, but food's important, y'all. And you don't have to sacrifice a sweet tooth every once in a while. You can still have some sweets here and there, but just choose better options. You know, we've got a couple of recipes and some links and things like that to some of Nicole's options on her website on the show notes as well for today. So check those things out and let me know how they taste. If you try something, let me know. I'd love to hear how it goes. So with that, I'm going to try to stop rambling here, but lots of great things from this episode, and I'd love to hear what stood out to you. So shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. Or better yet, head to the show notes, dizruns.com/296, and leave a comment and let me know what stood out to you from this episode, and that way others can see it as well. So, guys, thanks for listening. I do appreciate it. If you don't have a Road ID yet, don't forget to support the sponsors of the show. And in this case, it's something that I think that you need. I think that it's something that all runners need. So dizruns.com/roadid. Check it out. I have a link in the show notes. I have a link in the information in your phone, on your device, whatever you listen to this on. There'll be a link. You can check it out real quick and easy. And if you don't have one, like I said, it's the best $15 or $20 you'll ever spend on any running equipment that hopefully will be something that you'll never use. But if you need it, it's worth its weight in gold. So thanks to Road ID for supporting the show, and thank you for supporting Road ID. It goes a long way. So with that, guys, have a great rest of the day. Thanks for listening. I always appreciate that, and I can't express that enough. Hope you have a great one, and I will look forward to talking to you again real soon. See you guys.